Well, Matt, I'm going to say Matt tried to get ahead a little something in first service, but today we're talking about influence, right? The integrity of influence. It's kind of this combination of all of the things you've been journeying through over the last several weeks in our Integrity 101 series. When your eyes are right, your mouth is right, your heart is right, all of those things, you present yourself with a sense of integrity. And today we're going to talk about that, but I want to show you where the most influence I have in my life is. There's a picture that come up on the screen here. This is my family. This is my wife, Alexis, my oldest daughter, Florence, and my youngest daughter, Selah. I have the most influence on them. And I would say the same thing for you. If you have a family or you have really close friends or you are a part of something in the same household, you have the most influence with these people because you spend the most time with them. My family sees the ups and downs of me, the bright moments, the not so bright moments, the good things and the bad things and the ugly things. And I know that I have influence on them based upon the way that they act when I drop them off at school or preschool. And what I mean by that is, like, while we're walking in, I'm walking with my two daughters. I'm seeing a lot of parents are getting on their knees. They're hugging and kissing their babies. They're like, I love you. Bye. And my kids get to the gate and they're like, dap me up, daddy. Peace. And they walk in. No hugs, no kisses. They just dap me up. And they can't snap, so they just kind of throw their hand back and go into the room. And I know that I have influence on your pastor, which was he tried to get ahead of, is because he did not have shoe game until we started hanging out. But it's rubbed off on me. And the other way is that my hairline is becoming his hairline, and I can't do anything about it. So it's a different kind of influence. I asked the Lord for that cup to pass from me, but he has chosen to follow suit. I guess man is a good man to follow, and if you have the right to rabbi or teacher, you become more like them. So it is what it is. But again, today, we're going to be talking about influence because it is a powerful thing. It's a real thing in our lives. We are all people of influence, for good or for bad. It's not a gray area, right? It's not that you might have or you might not. You have influence in some way, shape, or form. And what we want, or what Christ wants through the word, is that we would have a high integrity with the way that we influence the people that are around us. Real quick, when we talk about the word integrity, I know you've kind of heard it. It's in the name of the series. It's in the name of the title of the sermon. But I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Integrity is you saying and presenting who you are in public like you are in private. You're not two different people. You are the same person. I act the same when I'm on this stage with you all, and I act the same when I'm at home with my family. There is not a difference. Influence means to have the ability to affect or change something or someone. And what's funny about influence is if you look up like the Google definition of influence, what you find is that there's a tag on the end of that definition, right? It's the ability to affect or change something without directly doing it. So you often can influence things and people around you indirectly. So we want to make sure, again, that we have good influence and we are eliminating bad influence. And with that said, would you open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 101 and stand once you get there for the reading of God's word. Again, Psalm chapter 101. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen. And I would encourage you, if you have a physical Bible at home, please bring it with you. There's nothing like having a physical Bible. If you can't see, they got large print. We can work it out for you. But this is the word of the Lord. It says this, Psalm chapter 101. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house, and no one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land. cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you, church. Again, influence is just a very, very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. And we influence people by what we do, how we act, what we say. And we're often influenced by our parents, by our friends, by our coworkers, our children, even the media that we watch. So it's vital that we, the church, the people of God, would examine ourselves to make sure that our influence is that of a high integrity, and of integrity of influence. And a way that you do that is to lay your life down within Psalm 101 and look at the things that we've talked about over the last several weeks. The integrity of the tongue, the integrity of the eyes, the integrity of the heart, all of those different things. Do you match up with what the Word of God says? And that will determine what type of influence you have. My two points again today are cultivate good influence and eliminate bad influence. So let's talk about cultivating good influence, okay? In Psalm 101, verse 6, it says, I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. Now, in this psalm, David is really setting before our eyes what type of person he desires to be, what type of kingdom he desires to kind of govern and be over, and what kind of people he wants closest to him and around him. But there's one really neat thing about this role as king. To be a king, one of the major roles that you have is to set before the people's eyes faithfulness and good living. Give them something to follow and be someone that they want to imitate, right? It's like the principle, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ in the right way and to the right lengths, why would you follow me? So what David does is he sets these stipulations up in the first four verses about what he desires, what he wants, and who he wants around him. Verse one, he lays before us, he wants to be one who is committed to the Lord. I would take that and then look at our lives. Would we say that we are a people who are committed to the Lord? Or do we just play the church game? We come in on Sundays, we leave on Sundays, we don't read our Bibles through the week. Or are we truly committed to the Lord, committed to the body of believers, and committed to taking the gospel from here into the ends of the earth? Verse 2 says that one who thinks about the path of the blameless and a heart that is full of integrity. Verse 3, one who guards his eyes from worthless sights. Remember the integrity of the eyes. Verse 4, one who does not have a perverse heart, and he will also not be intimately involved in evil. Now, with this kind of list that David lays out, we need to ask ourselves, are we being the people that we need to be? Or being the type of people that Christ calls us to be? I often, I have a list in my phone that I have, that I go back to often. It's called What I Want. Just a note, it's a living note where I can add things, I change things and update, reword. But it's not like what I want materialistically in life. It's not that. It's what I want personally. It's really the type of person I want to be and what I want to be around me. A couple of them say this. What I want is to be the godliest man my wife knows. That's what I want, to be the godliest man my wife knows. What I want is to be an intentional dad. I have two little girls. I want to be intentional with my children. What I want is to read and know my Savior more. What I want is to grow old with my wife. What I want is to be more patient. And what I want is to see my daughters come to know Jesus. And the list goes on in that regard. And what happens with this list, right? I base these things out of what I see my role as a husband and a father from the scriptures. And what I can do is I can go back and kind of check myself. Are the decisions I'm making, are the things that I'm doing, how I'm interacting with people, what my eyes are taking in, what my heart is pondering and in my mind, are these things lining up with the goal that I've set before me to be the godliest man that my wife knows? Am I setting this before me to have integrity of heart and be more patient and tender with my children as our God is tender and patient with us? So have you asked yourselves or written down what kind of person you want to be? what type of father you want to be, what type of husband you want to be, what type of mother you want to be, what type of wife you want to be, what type of friend, right? What type of brother or sister do you want to be? Write these things down and mull over them. But I would say take it a step further. If you write them down, share them with somebody so they can hold you accountable, right? We're designed for community and we want to cultivate good influence. How does that happen? With people. We have to do things together. We have to talk about our lives, right? And David has this list set out before him so not only that he could see it, but his people could hold him accountable. I took this list several months ago in a time of prayer with Matt. On Mondays, our staff gets together to pray over like things that are going on in the church. We pray for you. We pray for our families, different ministry things, all kinds of things. And this particular morning, me and Matt paired up and we went into his office and just shared, man, I want to be a godlier husband. I want to be more patient with my kids. I want to be a better leader in my home. Like, I went through this list. Matt went through his things and we just prayed together. And out of that, me and Matt have had conversations like, hey, how are you doing with this? Have you seen strides here? Have you fallen away here? We have to have accountability in our lives. So you have to find people within the body of Christ that embody, that resemble the type of person you want to be, right? This is why David says in verse 6, not only will I look on them faithfully, but I will dwell with them. He wants to do life on life with people who are walking and striving in the same direction. That's how you cultivate a good influence. You find somebody who is a good influence on your life and you walk with them. You find somebody who might be a little bit older, who might be a little bit farther along in their faith, and you hitch your sidecar to them and you walk with them. You learn from them. You glean from them. And honestly, you can do that from within these walls. I know that there's small groups or life groups going on. There's men's groups and women's groups. There's Matt's pastor's class that's going on. They've got Sunday morning prayer groups. They've got, heck, y'all even got a farm ministry here, right? You can go sweat with people, pick things with people. You can do life on life in the mud with people, right? It's beautiful. So this is low-hanging fruit for you to get involved with the people of God that are seeking him above all else. Don't just be the churchgoer. Be someone who is committed. Because imagine, right? What would happen within this place if we were committed to the body of Christ, that we had high integrity and we walked in the way that is blameless, not on our own. Right? Because there's not anything within us that we can white knuckle our faith and honor the Lord with. No, this is the work of the Spirit in us and his people, where we come together and we walk in faithfulness with God. And this church is full of people who are striving to honor the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here's why this is important, church. Because if we do not fight to cultivate good influences in our lives, bad influences will come in through the side doors. They will creep into our lives, whether we know it or not. This is why, moving to my second point, eliminate bad influences. David says in Psalm 101, verse 8, morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Right, David takes a very drastic turn here, a very drastic turn in verses 5-8 from looking upon the faithful, right? You see these very kind words, these very intentional words, and then you see this shift where David becomes, honestly, pretty violent, right? He says, he will cut off, he will destroy, they will not endure, they will not dwell with me, they will not continue before my eyes. Why the difference? Because David is showing us how serious he is about changing the scenery of his life to honor the Lord. Are we serious about changing the scenery of our life to get us in environments that honor the Lord and away from environments that don't, whatever the cost. I've experienced this and I've walked with this myself, right? We have to understand that our biggest problem in this scenario is us. Because we are sinful and broken people. This means that we have a predisposition to darkness and to sin. It's far easier for us to engage in evil, sinful activity than it is to walk in the way of the righteous. So we have to be drastic about it. And you can have people like in your life calling you out, calling you up, encouraging you, and you've got to listen, because if you don't, you will fall and you will stumble. And I tell you, from a time that I was in high school where godly counsel was telling me, do not walk with these people. Leave them behind. Walk away from them. Cut them off as friends. They are bad influences. And I thought, you know me, I'm high and mighty. I'm like, it's fine, it's not a big deal. They're not influencing me. I'm influencing them. I'm the leader. It's not true. I ended up in situations I did not need to be in, around things that I did not need to be around, with consequences that were far greater than I could have imagined. If I would have just listened to the godly counsel that said, leave the evil alone, walk away, things would have been different, right? But our God is good. He is faithful. He's a God of restoration. So even in my sorrow and sinful actions, God brought redemption and forgiveness. But that does not mean that you have to make the same mistake that I made. Right? Hear the people of your family, of God, and of your household telling you, walk in the light. He is good. Eliminate the evil influences in your life morning by morning. And this is too why we need Jesus. Most importantly, in this whole process of eliminating bad influences, it only happens through the blood of Jesus. Because we're sinners, separated from God. Ephesians 2 lays this out beautifully for us. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. It tells us about this gift that God has given us. And if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, I want you to listen to the words of God here in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 2. Because what he is offering to you is a free gift. You see, when I came to know Jesus, it's not that I cleaned myself up. It's not that I got rid of all the evil in my life. And then Jesus was like, you're good enough to be saved. No, he saw me in my brokenness. And the only thing I brought was sin-stained garments and brokenness. And through my repentance, our great King Jesus gave to me life. And he took my sin away. Right? Justification happens in a moment, meaning salvation, but sanctification happens over a lifetime where we look more like Jesus. But it all starts with this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, this free gift. Let's read this. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Verse 4 says, but God, not that you did something, not that we cleaned ourselves up, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his glory and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Here it is again, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which he prepared before the foundations of the world that we should walk in them. So why do I read that? Ephesians chapter 2 brings us the reality of what Christ has done to bring us from death to life. The crucifixion of Jesus, his perfect life, his death and his resurrection are what obtains for us the ability to have a good influence. And through his protection, through his guidance, and through his light and strength, you then will be able to eliminate the evil influences in our lives. Sin is a powerful thing. There's no way around it. Evil is a powerful thing. Paul David Tripp, in his book, Do You Believe?, says this about sin. Sin causes us to think that we are righteous, that we are wise, and that we are strong, when in fact we are not. Sin makes us rebels, wanting to submit to no one's law but our own. Sin causes us to write our stories with us at center stage, commanding the attention and credit that we think we deserve, but in fact do not. Sin changes everything, but there is one who is far greater. And if today you're sitting here and you're examining your life and seeing this mess that has been made by your actions and influence that are around you, there is hope for you, and his name is Jesus. He is far greater than any darkness. He is far greater than any chain of sin. He is the one who sets his people free. He reaches down into the trenches and brings us up and breathes into us the breath of life and places us on dry land, church, that we might walk with him, that we might learn with him, that we might glean from him and become more Christ-like, transformed from one degree of glory into the next through his power and the Holy Spirit. He is the only one who can rid us of bad influences. But here's the thing. Every single day, we have to know that we are at war. This kind of good influence and bad influence type of dynamic, we are at war. Right? 1 Peter 5:8 talks about how the enemy is a prowling lion looking for a meal to devour. Y'all ever seen a hungry lion? I've never seen one in the wild, but I've seen one at the zoo, and it's nuts. They're like, they're ground low, they're crouching, and the minute they smell something or see something, boom, they're on it. That's why in 1 Peter 5:8, it says that the enemy is a prowling lion. He's hungry. He's searching. He is finding. So we, as the children of God, have no time to be idle, no time to waste. But this is why we should submit ourselves to a greater king, right? This royal psalm is a beautiful gift. We see King David, but David is a foreshadowing of a greater king whose name is Jesus, who would fulfill all of these things, whose eyes would be perfect, whose heart would be perfect, whose tongue would be perfect, whose integrity would be perfect and is perfect. Where his new holy city would be a place where the people of God would gather and come together under his protection and his guidance. But today we submit ourselves to the word and the will of God in his protection and his guidance from the evil one. And if you're here not knowing Jesus, not having relationship with Jesus, you have got to know. Just to simply be influenced by him isn't enough. You have to submit to him. There are a lot of things in our world that are influenced by Christianity, influenced by Jesus, but they don't belong to Jesus. They live in rebellion. So we, if we want to have relationship, to spend eternity with him, must submit to Jesus. And believer, I want you to imagine something for a moment. If your life looked like what we have seen in Psalm 101, what would happen? Like, completely looked like this. What would happen? Imagine the scenery that would be changed of this city. Imagine the life that would be experienced in this church. Imagine your homes, just your household, what that would be like if we lined up with the word of God and our integrity was that of God. This is why we must every day start at the feet of Jesus. Right? We get wounds every day, both physically and spiritually. And the only way that we find healing is through Jesus. So start at his feet every day, pleading with God to bring wisdom and understanding and knowledge and influence that flows from him. Not my own man-made influence. No, I want the influence of God on my life. That way I can influence other people in the right direction. Just imagine what that would be like. And we pray that through this series that you all have been challenged. Right? I'm sure it wasn't easy. Everybody had homework. I hate homework. But everybody had homework to do, things to write down. We also pray it was edifying to you, that through the work of the Holy Spirit and the things that you were examining and that you were walking with, God revealed through himself to you areas in your life that did not match up with his. That's a continual process until one day where your faith becomes sight and you are in the presence of God. We have to be continually reforming our hearts, our minds, and our souls through the will and the word of God. So church, submit yourself to him. Trust him as we are on this journey to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus does. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. And your word is a gift to us. Your life is a gift to us, Lord. And we pray that we wouldn't pass by it. That we would receive that gift, that we'd be transformed by your life, by your word, by your presence, and that you would make us whole, God. Father, I thank you for each and every one of the people that are here today. I know there's a million other things that they could be doing, but God, they chose to be here and gather with the body, so we thank you. I pray that your word would move in their life. Would you make them holy as you are holy. Would you purify their lips? Would you purify my lips? Would you purify our hearts? And that we would be a people who imitate Christ. And that our influence would be that of the gospel. We would influence with eternity in mind, King Jesus. Lord, all of this is from you, for you, and to you. And may you be blessed by our time together today and in our continued worship. Amen.